Well, I'm back in the saddle again, the same saddle I was in last summer, but doggone it, we're together today, and I'm happy. I'm really happy. Today, we pause at the beginning of this Thanksgiving month to gratefully remember treasured persons, the saints who have gone on to glory, who have joined the great cloud of witnesses, who worship with the saints of light and the church triumphant on another sure and a brighter, clearer day. And we're deeply thankful. Thankful for what they mean to us and to our lives and for the ways they shared with us the journey. And on All Saints Sunday, when we pause and remember those who have gone before us, often there are tears. In John's Gospel, there are tears. Jesus weeps. And in John's Revelation, God wipes away tears from God's children's eyes. All of us can relate to this notion of crying, of weeping. We've all shed tears at some time in our lives. Of course, some people cry easier than others, and people cry for many reasons. My mother would laugh so hard sometimes that she would cry. But crying is a healthy reaction to a very stressful situation. There's a story about a man named Pete. A man's man. Nothing ever got him down. When his marriage failed, he commented, "Well, you win some and you lose some." Wonder who was at fault in that marriage. When he lost his job because of corporate downsizing, he bragged that he had finally found his freedom. But when his mother died, Pete's tough facade crumbled. He cried like a lost child. He felt misplaced and orphaned, abandoned. So Pete's pastor talked with him about losing his mother, and Pete told his pastor that his mother never once told him she loved him, and that he could not remember a single time that his mother hugged him. Pete also admitted that the wall of control he built around himself was just his way of protecting that 10-year-old little boy of his childhood that would often cry himself to sleep at night. And so it was. But as Pete finally faced the reality of his mother's death, he admitted his wounds. And at that moment, Pete became authentic with himself and began the healing journey. Because, you see, there is healing in those tears. People cry for several reasons. In John 11, Jesus sheds tears. You know the story. A man named Lazarus was sick. He was a brother of Mary and Martha, and Lazarus lived with his sisters there in that little village of Bethany. They were treasured friends of Jesus. In fact, when Jesus was traveling into town, he most often stayed with them there in Bethany. So when these two sisters realized that their brother was deathly ill, they sent word to Jesus that the one he loved was very sick. They wanted Jesus to save their brother. But Jesus didn't immediately respond to their summons. He stayed 2 more days where he was, and then began the 2-day journey to Judea. That's 4 days. There was an ancient belief that the life force of a dead person's body stayed close for 3 days, and after that, well, there was no hope of life. Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. That's what John says, to underscore that before Jesus arrived, Lazarus was beyond any possible hope. There wouldn't be any way that Jesus would be able to revive him, resuscitate him, simply out of the question. And when Jesus arrives at Bethany, it's Martha who reaches him first. And the outspoken Martha says, "Lord, if you had come when we had first called you, you could have healed our brother and he wouldn't have died." But Jesus responds to Martha's indictment by saying, "I am the resurrection and I am life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." John's gospel then brings us to the scene when Martha tells Mary that Jesus has asked for her. Without wasting a second, Mary went to Jesus and fell at his feet, the same feet that earlier she had anointed with oil and wiped with her hair. Mary fell at his feet crying and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would still be alive." When Jesus saw Mary weeping and all those who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And he asked, Where have you laid his body? "Well, come and see, Lord." And here's where we read the words, "Jesus wept." The shortest verse in the Bible. And everyone realized how much Jesus loved Lazarus. He loved Mary and Martha too. But Jesus wasn't crying because Lazarus had died. Jesus holds the keys to death, and he knew that death was nothing to be afraid of. Death is part of God's plan. At least, that's what we say as a defense mechanism. Well, you know, death is just a part of life, whether we believe it or not. And then we say very little else. Maury Schwartz says in Tuesdays with Maury, "Everybody's going to die. The problem is nobody believes it." St. Francis says it best for me, "It is in dying that we are born into eternal life." And Mary and Martha were right. If Jesus had been there, he could have kept Lazarus from dying. But Jesus wasn't crying because Lazarus had died. He cried in response to the pain in Martha and Mary's broken hearts. Death leaves a heartache no one can heal. It's a pain for which there are no words and there are no healing balms. Mary hurt, and because Mary and Martha hurt, Jesus hurts with them. Those who trust Jesus Christ know that we're not alone. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Jesus understands our pain. There is one who loves us and who sees and sympathizes with our heartaches. Death leaves a heartache no one can heal. Love leaves a memory no one can steal. We are not alone. Out of his great love for us, Jesus weeps with us. Jesus wept on Palm Sunday in disbelief of Jerusalem's citizens. Jesus wept in Gethsemane when he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. I don't know. Jesus might have avoided crucifixion if he hadn't raised Lazarus. Because for some of the Jerusalem crowd, restoring Lazarus to life was the final straw that convinced the religious elite that Jesus was just too dangerous to continue living. Jesus always weeps when someone he loves is in distress. But even more importantly, the power to confront and to defeat death. After Jesus wept, the people who were present said, "See how he loved him." And then Jesus went to the tomb, a cave really with a stone that was laid across the entrance. And he said, "Take away that stone." "But Lord," Martha began to complain, "but Lord, by this time, there's a bad odor. He's been in there for days." And then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And then Jesus lifted a prayer. And the Bible says he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." At this command, Lazarus came out. His hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen, swaddling cloths, and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off those grave clothes and let him go." And Jesus demonstrated once and forever his power over death and over the grave. Reverend Shannon Kirshner, a Presbyterian pastor, tells of a parishioner who was battling deep depression. Some may know what that's like. You feel like you're sitting at the bottom of a deep pit. It's dark and deep and big, and you feel so small. Well, Kirshner's parishioner was sitting there in the pit, feeling betrayed and angry with herself and angry with God. And the pastor was fresh out of seminary, but had become well acquainted with the lament psalms, the psalms in the Bible that are very explicit in regard to anger and frustration with God. She pulled a few of them out and began to read them with this woman, and the young pastor said, "See, what you feel is right here in Scripture. It's faithful to feel this way. These psalms help remind us that God is in the pit with us. Even when we feel God's absence, God's presence still covers us." Kirshner said she was trying to speak faithfully and truthfully as a pastor to this woman. But the woman looked at the young pastor and said through her tears, "Shannon, I don't want a God who will sit with me in the pit. I want a God who will pull me out of the pit." And we can appreciate that. There are times we want more than comfort. We want action. We want someone who can call to us, who can call us to come out of the tomb of our sufferings and unbind us and set us free. Said Dr. Will Mayo of the Mayo Clinic, I have seen patients that were dead by all standards. We knew they couldn't live. But I've seen a minister come to the bedside and do something for a patient that I could not do, although I have done everything in my professional power, because something touched some immortal spark in the patient, and in defiance of medical science and common sense, that patient lived. It doesn't happen always that when someone prays, there's such a literal healing. And why should it? Even Lazarus wasn't resurrected in the same way that Jesus was resurrected on the first Easter. He wasn't given that new, perfect, resurrected body that we all one day will be given. Lazarus was simply restored to his natural, mortal life. And eventually, his body would wear out and he would die again. But Christ demonstrated his compassion for all who suffer, and he demonstrated his power to restore life even in the most hopeless of situations. The raising of Lazarus is a reminder that there will come a time when there will be no more pain or sorrow. And on this All Saints Sunday, we are reminded that there will come a time when there will be no more tears. Why? Because at the heart of the universe is a God who loves us. That is the testimony of John, who not only wrote the gospel, but also Revelation. And in Revelation, John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain.'" There's two images that should stick in our minds forever. Jesus standing beside a friend's tomb weeping, and even more striking, the living, eternal God of all creation wiping the tears from his children's eyes. Ella Wilcox once noticed a woman sitting by herself sobbing in the middle of a train car. At first, Ella was a little bothered by the persistent weeping, but then she noticed another passenger in the car, an older gentleman who was sitting near the rear of the train car. And he was telling funny stories to the passengers sitting around him. Everybody smiled and chuckled along with the old man. And after a while, some of the other passengers in the car started moving. They were getting up from their seats in the front near the weeping woman and moving toward the back near the man telling the funny stories. And after that experience, Ella Wilcox wrote these well-known words: "Laugh, and the world laughs with you. Weep, and you weep alone." But when you are weeping, you may feel alone, terribly alone, but you're not alone. There is one who weeps with you, one who will one day wipe away every tear from our eyes. This one has the power over life and death. This one is Jesus Christ, and he has the power to call you forth from your tomb of tears and give to you life once again. This is the one who says, I am the resurrection and I am life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believe it. Amen.